As I crossed over the Penobscot Narrows Bridge on my way out of Belfast and into Ellsworth, it struck me that there's a significant amount of Maine I have yet to discover. I knew this, of course. I've only been living here for a year, and my childhood is hardly more than a distant memory at this point. I remember my childhood summers in Maine in the same way that I remember losing my first tooth or getting my first haircut, in that I know those things happened. I know I was there for them, but I don't really remember them. But driving over that bridge, I was struck by just how remote I was at that moment and how beautiful my surroundings were. And then I was struck almost immediately after that by the thought that on the spectrums of remoteness and beauty, I wasn't anywhere near the ends. There's so much more here to explore. I'm on my way to meet Kyle Lamont, a road-tripping music journalist, host of Concert Cast, the podcast, owner of Good to Go Studios, and owner of the Lucky Stone Retreat in Sullivan. I know Kyle digitally. My company, The Portland Pod, edits her podcast. That is to say, I edit her podcast. But we've never met in real life, which makes this interview really exactly like all the other interviews I've had up till now. But the meeting is a long time coming because of all the podcasting clients I have here in Maine. I don't have any that don't live within 20 miles of Portland, where I live. I arrive in Ellsworth around 11 a.m., and after lunch, a tour of the city with Kyle, and a bit of snowy driving, we wind up at the Lucky Stone Retreat, and the conversation continues, or for the sake of this podcast, begins. I ask if she wants to plug downtown Ellsworth before we start.
Yes, we just strolled along Main Street and High Street in downtown Ellsworth. It definitely has become a hub for, I hate to say the word, but it is a cultural experience for Downeasters. You can go and get a great beer. You can get Indian food, can shop, go to the Grand and see a great show. You know, there's just definitely a reemergence of artists and like-minded thinkers in Ellsworth. You know, we're really trying to have people think of Ellsworth not just as a layover on their way to Bar Harbor, but more or less as a destination. You can really make a weekend out of Ellsworth.
I agree with that sentiment. It's actually a very nice town. Seems like it's growing, too. I can easily imagine it's much different now than it was 30 years ago. I ask about the house we're in, the Lucky Stone Retreat. Kyle's home most of the time, but her Airbnb rental when she's traveling for work.
This place where we're at, the Lucky Stone Retreat in Sullivan, is just a gem. You know, I love sharing this place with people through Airbnb in the summertime because it's just so pretty. And, you know, I like to say that solitude and connection are one and the same here because you can truly be alone with your thoughts yet feel so connected to the world around you. You know, right outside the window here, the clouds are clearing to reveal Cadillac Mountain. You know, you can look over and see Bar Harbor, you know, just knowing all the, like the little coves that you can kayak and explore. It's just a great place, and I love sharing it with travelers.
I want to know a little bit about the history of the house, but Kyle seems a little resistant. She likes to live in the moment with an eye on the future, and so she's not a fan of looking back at the past. But she does wind up sharing some thoughts that reveal just how important the house is to her.
I don't like to think too hard about it because it gets really sentimental, right? And then sentimentality leads to mortality, right? I don't like to think too much about the
temporariness of everything.
Yeah. But ironically, right, that view of Cadillac Mountain will forever be here, you know? But just knowing that my grandfather was gifted this parcel of land when he was 18, and he would come over here, he lived in Bangor, and he would come here and camp and hang out with friends. And, you know, just he saw this place and loved it. And so his parents gifted it to him. And just knowing that he loved it so much as a young boy into his teens, you know, and then later sharing it with my grandma, and they would come up here and camp and just like be right here. And then they decided to build a little cottage here, you know, and coming across those blueprints and coming across handwritten letters to the contractor.
She's talking about some building plans and correspondence between her grandfather and various contractors that she found in the attic a while back.
Was one of the best discoveries ever when remodeling this house. You know, just wild to think how his love for this place is still, you know, it was passed down to me for sure. And knowing he never would have known, you know, right, that like people from Alaska or Australia would ever stay here. And when I get great feedback on Airbnb from people from like these places I just mentioned, you know, it's so heartwarming. And I feel as if I know that my grandpa would be stoked that these people are seeing the same thing that he did. Yeah, coming across those blueprints and seeing how they built this place from the ground up, and just, you know, having the love to hold on to this place and share it with other people is a privilege. You know, it's funny because like when you're on a mic, I just wish you could hear inside my mind when I wake up in the morning, you know, when I make my coffee and I'm able to sit in the same exact chair and look out the window. And it's mesmerizing. It's hard to sometimes get up and do anything because of this view. Just is stunning. And you see different perspectives every morning. I have this running theme right now. I like to take one picture every morning of the water because the waves are always different. The light is always different. And, you know, just documenting that is something I'm trying to do this year, is just sort of a running montage or a theme of photos. You know, it's cliche to say, but it never gets old. And when I correspond with travelers that visit here, I let them know, I assure them that it's okay to stay and not, you know, feel rushed to do things. Because, you know, when you're traveling, you feel like you have to go and do everything at once, especially in this area. There's a lot going on. You got Scudic Point down the road and Winter Harbor. You know, it's just a 45-minute drive to Bar Harbor and Acadia. There's a lot to do and fill your day. But a lot of people get back to me and they say, you know, some days we never even left, you know, because you can really enjoy yourself here. There's a private beach. You can walk down, have picnics, you know, just wade in and out of the water. In the peak of the summer, I definitely go for a swim. So there's a lot to do.
I ask her broadly about her grandparents.
Grandma and grandpa, they met at a dance somewhere in Massachusetts. My grandpa was in the Army. And so he was for some reason in Massachusetts and met my Nana at a dance. I love that. Like just, you know, that having a place that has the music going and creates connection, and just knowing that my grandparents were at this dance meeting with the help of live music just warms my heart, you know? And my Nana was not from Maine. My grandpa is, and all of my side of my dad's side of the family is. So he brought her up here, and they definitely made, you know, planted roots in the community. And I remember growing up and just being so proud of my grandma and grandpa. They were volunteers at the Ellsworth Medical Center. And they would go in and were just like pillars of the like community volunteer there. And that was, I was always so proud of that. They'd wear like matching outfits. Like grandpa would wear the red like smock and grandma would wear like the pink like candy striper-esque dress apron thing. And away they would go in their, you know, station wagon. And I was always so proud of that because they just love to help.
I ask about her parents.
My mom and dad met at HBO, in the 70s. So I like to say that the passion for media and the passion for entertainment is definitely in my blood. And so they met at HBO, and then they lived in New York City together for a while. And then my dad got a job in Denver with a cable company. And back then, right, like cable was king. So they moved to Denver, and basically that's how my beginning started, was in Denver. Dad worked at what was called Dimension Cable. And then soon after, they both moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and they both started their own cable marketing company. So it's definitely in my genes to be in production. You know, they at the time started when cable was just not just like making its way towards the peak, you know, and they killed it. Had an awesome company. They were great at what they did. They were the yin and yang in cable.
Having parents in the industry must have had its perks. One in particular must have been the envy of the schoolyard.
My sister and I would do voiceovers for Nickelodeon. Like when you see commercials within your region, right? Like we're a Spectrum cable division, right? So Spectrum will run their Nickelodeon ads in a local sense. So it's not like it would... It's a really interesting business model. But to make a long story short, yeah, we would do voiceovers for that particular cable outfitter per region. But it'd be like, yeah, like watch Clarissa Explains It All on, you know, Spectrum, you know, so we would do like the localized Nickelodeon spot.
But marriages rarely last forever these days. My parents didn't make it, and maybe yours didn't either. Kyle's also weren't destined to go all the way.
Unfortunately, the marriage dissolved, the company dissolved, and the divorce got really messy.
She went on to give more details about the divorce, but in retrospect, she didn't want those specifics shared publicly, and that's fair. Divorces are pretty traumatic, and they're very rarely an enjoyable conversation anyway. I guide the conversation to a more work-related topic. I want to know about Kyle's production company, Good to Go Studios.
We're a multimedia production company based here in Downeast, Maine. We specialize in local commercials, independent movies, music videos, and now podcasts.
I asked if Good to Go had any recent projects that Mainers might be interested in knowing about.
Well, I'm very proud of a short movie called Passive Aggressive Dads that we produced last May in Blue Hill, Maine. And it was sort of the spawn, if you will, of me reaching out to a local writer and director. And I reached out to him because I've been writing a script and wanted to have a writing partner or just, you know, some help, feedback, and collaborative synergy with someone in the area. And I reached out to him because he has an awesome script about being in a cult. And also, he wrote a script that was produced for Sesame Street, which is really hard to do. His name's Jim Piccarello. He lives in Blue Hill with his awesome family. And from reaching out to him, one thing led to another, and we shared some writing back and forth. He shared with me his script, Passive Aggressive Dads, and I was like, laugh out loud, dark comedy. And I was like, how can we work together to get this made? And just through our grittiness and our love for production and utilizing resources in this area, we made it happen.
Before cutting for a break, I wanted to know how Down East was changing, specifically whether or not it was changing. During the tour she gave of downtown Ellsworth, Kyle pointed out a lot of new culturally rich restaurants and referred to the town as increasingly a cultural hotspot, a cultural experience. In towns like Ellsworth, creating a more expensive economy in an area that isn't altogether known for its wealth in the first place can sometimes cause some big issues for longtime locals. This is something we've heard expressed on this podcast from our guests quite a few times about Portland. I wanted to know if Kyle was worried about this upscaling, so to speak. Was she worried that it would make it so that Downeasters could no longer afford to live down east? Was she worried that young people might stop caring about traditional down east jobs and adopt more quote unquote modern jobs in order to make more money? I really wanted to know Kyle's take. After all, she's lived down east all her life.
If you go to the local high schools here, I would venture to guess, just by being a student at a local high school here, 6 out of 10 graduates will stay here to lobster or to work off the land. It's tradition, it's heritage, it's ingrained. That will never change. When you are going to school with boys who are making 4 figures at 17 years old because they're lobstering and able to pay off a truck at 17, they're staying here to go lobstering, even when they're offered full ride scholarships to Maine Maritime Academy. People stay here because it's tradition and it's ingrained. I don't believe that we're going to see a change in that regard.
Just wanted to stop for a moment to point something out to everyone. First of all, I'm sick. If you haven't noticed, my voice is a bit different this time around. But that's not what I wanted to point out. I wanted to point out that I drove 3 hours, partially in a snowstorm that couldn't make up its mind about whether or not it wanted to start, just to record this interview. I don't do remote Skype interviews because I think they sound like crap, and frankly, I think you deserve something better than that. I'm bringing this up because I want to make a point. When I first started the Portland Speaks podcast, there was some consternation online about the name. I called it Portland Speaks, and yet I was professing that it would be a podcast for all of Maine. So a lot of folks asked, why didn't you just call it Maine Speaks or something else that wasn't Portland specific? The Portland Speaks podcast isn't named as such because it only seeks to serve Portland. It's named as it is because I broadcast from Portland and I owe the people of Portland a debt of gratitude. Without them, I wouldn't have my podcasting company, let alone the Portland Speaks podcast. The name pays homage to the city I live in, but it seeks to serve all of Maine, genuinely. So if you've got a story or know someone who does, and you'd like to hear yourself or someone else on this podcast, connect with me and help me make that happen. It takes 2 people to have a conversation, and I'm willing to go pretty much anywhere to get a good story. Have Mike, we'll drive. So please send any suggestions or ideas to talk@portlandspeaks.net. That's talk@portlandspeaks.net. All right, I think that's enough of that. It's time to get back to Kyle. She's got a new project. It's a podcast, and it's one whose mission she's highly passionate about. It's called Concert Cast the Podcast, and it's all about music venues.
ConcertCast, as cliche as this sounds, has been a journey. You know, it started out for me as a cleaner at the Blue Note. I cleaned puke out of the urinals. I collected bottles. I mopped the floor and had a blast doing it because I got to see concerts every night. And it really was, you know, it helped me see live music from the ground up. You know, and I talk about this in the very first episode of ConcertCast, sort of the origin story of my passion for music venues. But really, you know, what runs in parallel with working at a music venue was I was also a production assistant at the local news and an intern. So my passion for production and music was driving together, really. And it's not until I really look back on it right now. But I would work all night at the, you know, so cleaning eventually evolved into more responsibility, which was great. I was really eager to help any way I could and wanted to know every inch of the music business, you know, and I was so lucky to work under great people like Richard King and Pete McDevitt and great talent buyers, forward thinkers. They were, you know, bringing in huge names into the Blue Note, you know, and it was just so awesome to get to see them work and listen to how they worked. But my roles and responsibilities evolved into merchandise sales. So I would sell t-shirts after the show. So I got to see that whole business of merchandise and, you know, working with the band's manager on all of that.
Kyle was working her way up from the bottom and loving every second of it. But every now and then, she'd get a chance to do a little more. Something just a little more exciting than cleaning and selling.
My very first experience in that manner was I had to pick up Sunvolt from their hotel. And I picked them up in my janky old Subaru that was painted seafoam green. And it had a main license plate, vanity plate, and said wave one. And people would just wave at me, you know, wave one. Anyway, I had to pick up Sunvolt at their hotel and bring them back to the venue. And I was so nervous. I was so nervous. Like, this is Sunvolt. Love this band. It's my first, like, big, you know, opportunity to prove myself that I'm not just a great mopper or puke cleaner, you know, that I can do bigger things. And so I pick up the band and they're super cool and they jump into my Subaru. And of course, I take the wrong exit, get us a little lost. I think it was just my nerves, you know, just really got the best of me there. So I had to like kill time by making stupid jokes. But we eventually got back to the venue and it was just so much more, you know, exciting to see that band walk out on stage because I had built, you know, a really cool little internal story with them in my head, right? But those moments were just one of many where I was able to really connect with artists in a humanistic way. Just so many fun opportunities to see the music business in a different way. It made me appreciate it more, and it made me really more obsessed with the music business, and it made me more aware of how much goes into live music.
And a lot of that work happens at a venue. From Kyle's perspective, without the venue, even if it's just an open field with no stage, a concert can't happen. Music can't happen. This gives venues a spirit. It imbues them with this magical raw potential that it can loan out to any band brave enough to play within it. As Kyle often likes to say,
every venue has a voice, and architecture and sound are in constant conversation. And what's so cool about a venue is how it provides common ground for conversation. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with strangers on my travels, and we get to talking about other places. That's what you do when you're traveling, is you end up talking about different places. You end up talking about seeing a concert. And you end up saying something to the effect of, oh, well, have you ever been to Congress Theater in Tucson? Or, oh, have you ever been to State Theater in Portland? And knowing that I've stood in the same spot as this stranger at different times creates a bridge. And I think in this day and age, in constant, you know, sometimes like just chaos, it feels like in the world in which we see it through a social media lens, it can feel chaotic, but having this bridge between two people is so special. And not only that, but it's like a bridge to different generations, right? Having a venue be that bridge is so incredibly special. And I don't believe that we've given enough attention to how powerful a music venue is.
And thus was born ConcertCast, the podcast. Though it wasn't initially intended to be an audio production, that was something they realized later on.
ConcertCast has always been a vision to be a visual travel show. And coming to the realization with the help of my longtime mentor, Mark Tuckashan, who's an Emmy Award-winning graphic designer and also used to work at HBO along with ESPN Everywhere. He's an amazing guy. With his help, we came to the decision to convert my video pilot at the time into a podcast. Don't get me wrong, the future vision of this podcast is meant to be visual. But for now, it's really important to establish the id and the ethos of this show, which is how powerful a music venue is to the live music experience. So there's so much that I'd like to say about a music venue, because having the opportunity to talk about it out loud is hopefully a chance for listeners to hear and appreciate live music differently. Because I think in this age of musical plenty, we're looking for ways to really hold on to an experience. And I think if we can look at music venues and appreciate them in a different light, that'll help elevate your concert experience. So when I graduated from University of Missouri, left the Blue Note, I embarked on my very first solo road trip, and I circled venues on my map. I didn't have GPS. I circled cities on my map that were known for notable venues and made them daily destinations to plan my day around. And I haven't stopped. Visiting venues is how I prefer to travel. Visiting a venue is the start of my travel experience, right? Not only is it a way to see a concert, but there are so many great things that are around a venue. Great restaurants, great hotels. You know, you can truly plan an itinerary.
And that's what she does every time she travels. Kyle has an insane list of interviews lined up and already recorded. And so many locales. Most recently, she interviewed John Fishman of the band Fish. And in an upcoming episode, she'll be interviewing the mastermind behind the All Roads Music Festival right here in Maine. She's actually in the middle of a multi-part series covering music venues in Maine. The Fishman episode is the first part of a two-part series that focuses on Belfast. The episode before that featured Portland State Theater and talent broker Lauren Wayne. That was actually a pretty good one. Did you know that the State Theater used to be a porn theater? That's a true story, apparently. After Maine, Kyle will be heading out west to talk with some of the best people in that region at the venue end of the music business.
ConcertCast started 8 years ago, and it was, you know, just this, you know, I have my old treatment, I have my old game plan, and not much has changed because, and that's a good thing, because this is a timeless, timeless way of connection, music, right? It's just allowing the music venue to be heard more. And so ConcertCast is a road trip that travels to America's best music venues. And we talk to everyone behind the scenes, talent buyers, managers, you know, people that help make live music happen, and also fans and bands. And it just helps, you know, and along the way, I'm still trying to learn how to do this, but along the way, trying to feel more philosophical about the relationship between traveling and music because they're so similar. And so that's been a lot of fun, is just trying to figure out and articulate through a podcast, right? As we know, it's a lot more writing and a lot more description. But touring is financially driving the music business. So venues are more relevant than ever. And we're seeing a lot more venues opening to cater to the growing, you know, trend of live music. And so I think now's a perfect time to really dig in and learn more about every venue, its history, the stories, the sounds that make up a place. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with traveling, and I'm obsessed with live music. And I'm obsessed with going to different venues and feeling out each room. You know, every room is different. And when you stand in a place knowing that hundreds of people have stood right there before you and will stand right there after you, you can't get much more powerful than that. When everything is going perfect at a concert, and this doesn't happen all the time, it's few and far between. But when you're at a concert and you're feeling great, You're warm, you're cozy, you're surrounded by like-minded individuals for that right moment. You and the band is just in the pocket. I believe that music can catapult you to the cosmos.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Portland Speaks podcast. If you're interested in listening to and subscribing to Kyle's podcast, ConcertCast, just search Apple Podcasts for ConcertCast and hit the subscribe button. Don't use an iPhone or an iPad? Don't worry. Just Google ConcertCast the podcast, and you'll see all kinds of methods to subscribe. Or just visit ConcertCastThePodcast.com. I'd like to thank you for listening this week. If you enjoy the Portland Speaks podcast, please consider leaving us a tip by going to portlandspeaks.net/tip. Your support of this podcast helps us travel further, talk to more people, produce more frequently, and stay more caffeinated. And that last one is pretty important. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week. Take care.